Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and everyone who is joining in with us this evening. I thank God, I bless God, and I praise God for each and every one of you. I would like to welcome you to this, the 1,067th episode. Look at God, 1,067th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host for the next hour, Pastor Tylene Daly, and I would like to welcome you to a special edition of Study for Life. Amen. Tonight we are going to be talking about something that I really believe is of severe importance, especially for where we find ourselves at during this time of the year as we are closing out of 2019 and quickly approaching the beginning of 2020. And what I've realized is that I've been talking to a lot of people, and everyone is really excited about the possibilities that they have coming with the start of a new year. But what I realized in everyone's excitement is that a lot of the people that I have spoken to, they're excited about the start of a new year because they just can't take nothing else in 2019. They have gone through the gambit. You know, they feel like they just can't take it anymore. Whatever their individual it may be, they're just done. They feel like they have nothing left to fight with. They feel like God may have forgotten them. Some of them are just raw and exposed emotions and nerves. And with everything that's going on, you would think this would make it better, but it actually ends up making it worse for them, because what happens is friends and loved ones keep telling them, you know all of the spiritual cliches we say, just keep holding on. Don't give up. God knows what's going on. It's just not your time yet. It's going to happen in God's time. We promise you that a change is going to come. And my favorite one, the favorite of all of them is, be patient, my child, because you know God knows all about it. But the funny part, or the part that began to sort of stir up in my spirit as I've been listening to people share with me about what they're going through and the advice that people are telling them and what they're hearing and getting in spiritual counseling, what I realized is that no one is really talking to them about being empty. No one is talking to them about being at that place where you feel like giving up, but there's something inside of you that just won't let you give up. No one is telling them how to push past that place of emptiness, how to get past that place of feeling empty. So that's what we are going to be talking about here this evening. We are going to be talking about tonight how to push past that spirit or that place of feeling empty. So you know what I'm going to tell you. I want you to get your Bibles, get your pens, get something to write on. It is time for us to begin to study God's Word. So before we go any further, I want you to please reach out to your family and friends. Let them know that we are broadcasting live now on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Amen. www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Let them know they can also listen in via phone. They can listen in at 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4160. 1-800-875-5574. And for anyone who would like to join in on the air with our live conversation, all you have to do is if you simply push 1, our engineer will bring you on so that we can speak on the air live. Amen. So now I'm excited. Let's get ready, for it is time for us to get into God's word. It is time for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the Lord. So we are going to have a quick word of prayer, and after that word of prayer, we are going to dive directly into our Bible study of pushing past empty. Amen. Pushing past empty. Father God, we come before you this evening first and foremost as handmade servants, as handmade children. We come humbly yet boldly before your throne of glory. We come, Father God, first to ask forgiveness of any sins that we may have committed through thought, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly, God. Sins of commission as well as sins of omission. Father, we ask forgiveness of them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask that you would cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they not rise up against us in that day of judgment. Then, God, we come to say thank you. We come with a praise on our lips and a rejoicing in our heart, God. We come to say thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, everything that you are going to do. We thank you for past, present, and future blessings, Father. We thank you, Father God, for making ways when we didn't see a way, Father. We thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh, Father, our provider, God. We thank you for meeting the needs of your people. Hallelujah, God. We just say thank you. We say thank you, Father God, for the roof over our heads, the clothes on our back, the food on our table. We say thank you. We say thank you for allowing us to see it safely through a day where your word can go forward. We just say thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Then, God, I say thank you for the miraculous move of God that is going to take place this evening. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the healing that is going to be released this evening. We thank you, God, for the comfort that is being released this evening. We thank you, Father, for the joy that is being released this evening. We thank you, Father God, for right now we see the shackles of bondage being broken off of your creation right now. So we just say thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. For it is you and you alone who are worthy. It is you and you alone who are doing it. Hallelujah, God. We just say thank you this evening. Then, God, we ask that you will toil the soil of our minds, God, that your word will fall on good ground and take root, Father, that it will grow, that we will be good fruit-bearing, walking epistles of your word in a dark, sin-filled land, Father. Then, Father, we ask that you will hold the enemy at bay long enough that some lost soul this evening will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then, God, as I always do, I surrender myself to you this evening. I surrender my voice, I surrender my body, I surrender my spirit to your will this evening. Do with it as you see fit, God. Hallelujah, Father. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, for everyone out there listening in with me today, if you can meet me in the book of John, we are going to the New Testament today. If you can meet me in the book of John, it is actually the fourth book in the New Testament. And we're not going far into the book of John. We're going to be at the second chapter. So, again, if you can meet me in John chapter 2, and we're going to start looking at the first verse. Amen. John chapter 2, and we're going to be begin reading at the first verse. I'm just so excited about what God is going to do this evening and for the move of God that is about to take place. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. And again, I'm going to begin reading at the first verse, John chapter 2, beginning reading at the first verse. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. Yet you have kept the good wine until now. Amen. Again, that was John chapter 2. And I begun reading at the first verse through to the 10th verse. And we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. And I would like to talk to you again for just a few minutes about pushing past empty. Again, pushing past empty. Now, what I want you to understand is the one thing that I've realized about being on empty, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I have been on empty before. I will probably be on empty again in the future, because one of the things that we do not realize is that in our spiritual lives, just like if we were driving a car, if you go to the dealership and you buy a brand new car, well, even if you buy a used car and it's just new to you, at some point you have to stop and put gas in that car in order for that car to get to where it has to go. But it's the same in the spiritual realm, that if we do not keep our spiritual bodies filled up with what we need in order for it to go, we will find ourselves on empty. And what I'm realizing is that in the spiritual realm, we find that to be on empty is embarrassing. We feel like it's embarrassing because we have a lack that we know should be full. We find it embarrassing because we find that there's a lack that we didn't expect to have. We find it to be embarrassing because people will tell you that by now on your journey, you should have figured life out. They'll tell you that you're too old to be running on empty, that you grew up in a powerful home. Your family were pastors and bishops and prophets and prophetess, yet you find yourself running on empty. Or you may have went and graduated from a major college or university. You may have even gone to school for theology, and then you find yourself running on empty. And the sad part about it is that when we find ourselves on empty, instead of going somewhere where we can be refilled, where we can get fueled back up to continue on our journey, we find it embarrassing, so we begin to fake fullness. You know, we begin to act like we have enough gas to get to the next destination when in our minds we are sitting there really concerned about if we are going to make it or not. I know I'm not the only person who has gone through hard times in their lives and in their careers, and I'm going to be talking about a car a lot this evening, but, you know, there were times when I was driving my car and I would have a little less than a quarter tank of gas, but I knew that I needed to get somewhere and that the gas that was in my tank was not necessarily enough to get me there. And there were times when the finances were not there. So I would literally sit there and begin to calculate how far I could go on fumes if I was to run out of gas. Would I be able to get far enough to get to my destination, or would I be able to at least make it back home on those fumes? And that's how we do in our spiritual. We begin to realize that we see there's a lack. We see that something is going on. We see that something is missing. So we begin to try to figure out if we can make it on the fumes. We begin to figure out if we can get there on what we actually have versus on what we know we should have. How many of us are really running on empty in spite of the promises that we are supposed to be full? You know, Jesus Christ said that I came to give you life and life more abundantly. That means we are supposed to be full, yet we are running on empty. So then that brings me to the question that if you find yourself running on empty, whose fault is it? Is it God's fault or is it our fault? Perhaps we are empty because we are trying to become full of the wrong things. So what happens is it looks like your container is full, but your container isn't really full because you put objects in the container that, yes, it filled the container to the top, but there are still gaping holes of space that needs to be filled. But because you have so much worthless stuff that you put into this container, now what needs to be in there cannot fit in there. I hear somebody in my spiritual ears like, okay, why is she going off on this? She keeps talking about being empty. So again, we are talking about Jesus at the wedding feast in Cana, and the wedding feast ran out of wine and the containers became empty. And we're looking at what happens when we begin to become empty. Do we look at that emptiness and look at what is supposed to be in there? Or do we look at that emptiness and take it to another place where we begin to put things in there that, again, will make it appear like it's full, but there is no fullness in it at all? Now, when you look at the scripture, it says that the wedding feast had started and they had realized that they had run out of wine. And the first thing that Mary did was she ran to Jesus. The first thing she did was she ran to Jesus. I'm going to stop there for a second. This is a side note because this part ain't even in my notes. But it's a side note and it's an important note. The first thing I want you to realize is that when you get to that place of feeling of emptiness, when you get to that place where you see that there is a lack, the first thing you should do is what Mary did. You should run to Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a habit of running to our friends or our girlfriends or our BFFs or our siblings or our parents, but we need to learn how to run to Jesus. And in her going to Jesus, he said to her, it is not my time yet. It's not my time. And I don't want to really get caught up in the discussion that went back and forth between Jesus and his mother, because that's a topic and a sermon all within itself. But basically, Jesus always paid attention to make sure that he was on the right time frame in obedience to what God wanted him to do. Here go another side note. something that we need to do. We need to make sure that our actions are lined up in the time frame of what God wants us to do or when God wants us to do it. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you remember, the preacher last night was talking about David, and he talked about how David got anointed to be king. But David didn't get anointed to be king and then get packed up and moved to the palace. No, David was anointed to be king, but then he was sent back out to his father's field to watch the flock, because it was not yet in God's divine time for David to be put into the position to begin to even be trained in the palace, let alone to move into the palace. So the importance is that we have to make sure that what we're doing is in accordance to the will in the time appointed by God. Amen? And I'm going to tell you how to get to know that as we go forth through our lesson. So she found out that they had ran out of wine, and that, you know, it was about to be a problem, because the last thing in those eras, the most worst thing that could happen, other than either the bride or the groom not showing up for the wedding, would be for during this wedding feast for this family to run out of wine, because the groom was the groom's family is the one who would throw the wedding feast, and the wine was symbolic of the groom being able to provide for his new wife and the family that was coming. So, again, they had run out of wine, and Jesus and Mary had a discussion, and Jesus basically said to her, it's not your time yet. And in Jesus saying to her that it is not your time yet, what I noticed happened is something that blows my mind, because Mary then turned around and she did something that went against what Jesus had just said to her. She went to the servants and she said, do you see that little boy right there, that young man right there? I can't say little boy, that, you know, but as a mother, because my children are in their 30s and I still call them little girls, but you see my son sitting right there? Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. In other words, I know there's a problem going on. I know there's a lack going on. I know that the barrels have begun to turn empty. But whatever Jesus says for you to do, I need you to just do it. Now, see, this is the part that gets me, because then the servants go and they begin to talk to Jesus. And in them talking to and with Jesus, he gives them a command after he had said to his mother that it wasn't his time yet. He said, listen, take them water pots and go fill them with water. Now, the part that gets me with this is, what was it that forced his hand? What was it that made Jesus decide that he was going to respond to what was going on when he just said it wasn't his time yet? What made him say, you know what, this is my time? What I want you to understand is what made him respond to the emptiness of the situation around him was the obedience of the servant. What made him react, it wasn't his love for his mother. It wasn't his love for the bridegroom and his family. What made him react, what pushed his hand, was the obedience of the servant. Mary said, go, and whatever he says do, just do it. So she went. They went. Jesus, Mary told us, come do whatever you said do. She told us to follow whatever instructions you gave. And as soon as he gave instructions, they went and acted on the instructions. Wait a minute. The scripture said, Jesus said, go fill the water pots. There were six stone water pots, and we're going to talk about the significance of that at the end. There were six stone water pots, and Jesus said, go fill the water pots. And go fill them with water. They could have looked at them and said, yo, we ran out of wine, not water. They could have looked at them and said, you know, these water pots is heavy. How are we going to carry the water pot? They could have even looked at him and said, you know, you told us to put water in these water pots, but you know that these six large stone water pots that you're telling us to fill up is actually dirty because this is what we use to do the ritual cleansing before we eat. So why would we use that? They didn't do any of that. You know, all of the stuff that we do, all of the stuff that we fight against, they just acted in obedience to what he said to do. So first I'm going to explain why so many of us are still experiencing emptiness to the levels that we do. We find ourselves experiencing emptiness when we stop being obedient to God's word. I know somebody don't like that because somebody's sitting there going, well, didn't Pastor say sometimes she experiences emptiness? Yes, sometimes she does. Why does she experience emptiness sometimes? Because sometimes she gets so caught up, you know, I talked about it earlier, filling the water pots up with the wrong thing. Sometimes I get so caught up with the ministry that I forget to get caught up with God and just get filled with his Holy Spirit. We have to be obedient to what God said to do. For some of us, it's not even that deep. It's not about ministry. For some of us, you want to know why you're feeling emptiness? Because he told you to break up with that male or that female, and you just won't be obedient. He told you to walk away from that job, and you just won't be obedient. For some of us, we have gotten so used to being disobedient that we have become good at surviving on empty. We just running around on fuels. You know, we show up at church once a month. Some of us, three times a year, you know, those three big church-going days, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. And then we go throughout the rest of the year just surviving on empty because we will not be obedient. But you have to look again what God is doing. God will not refuse obedience. His scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Why you want to keep giving me sacrifice when you can just give me obedience? Somebody is sitting here right now that could be my testimony for this particular topic tonight, talking about pushing past emptiness. You got healed from something this year that the doctor said you couldn't get healed from. Why? Because you were obedient and you pushed past the emptiness. Some of you have walked into financial blessings this year because you were obedient last year when God was dealing with you on sowing and harvest. It's all about obedience. That is what God is looking for. He is looking for a person who is willing to be obedient to his will, obedient in his word. Hallelujah, God. Mary knew that her son would not deny his divine job description. But what Mary knew was that obedience would make him move even out of his timeline. Somebody gonna get this. If you're tired of being empty, you can push him to obedience. How do you push him to obedience? Just do what he said do. Ah, hallelujah, God. The word of God, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. They follow me doesn't just mean we show up on worship services. They follow me means that we apply his word to our lives. Hallelujah, we are pushing past emptiness. So now he told them to go fill up the pots. But now the other thing that I wanted to stop and talk about really quickly is that when he told them to go fill up the pots, they did not just fill up the pots. You know how some of us do because we got to carry these pots. We don't want water to spill. We don't want to create a mess. So we won't fill it all the way to the top. We'll just fill it up some. But all Jesus said to them was fill up the water pots. They filled the water pots up to the brim. And once they did that, they went right back to Jesus. They said, you know what? We did the first thing you told us to do. Now what's next? Why are they coming back saying what's next? Because what I'm seeing don't match what your mama told us. Somebody going to get this thing in a second. What you see in your reality, in your realm of existence, doesn't match what somebody else has told you about God. Amen. Somebody has told you, it might have been your mother's prayers, your grandmother's prayers, but you've heard them call on the name of the Lord. You've seen Jesus healing. You've seen his healing power. You've seen Jesus raise people from the dead. You've seen him deliver people from cancer. You've seen great moves of God. You've seen great moves of Jesus Christ, but you've seen it because of something that somebody else has said. You believe because of something you saw him do for somebody else. And that's what was going on at this particular point. The servants went and filled the water pots up out of obedience because Mary told them, whatever he says do, just go and do it. But now here they are with these pots that they know have nothing but water in them, and they're standing before Jesus, and he says, not bring me the water so that I can touch it. That's not what he said. He didn't say bring it to me so that I can speak over it. He said dip the cup into the pot and fill your pitcher, and then take your pitcher to the bridegroom or to the groom. He said fill this pot that you know you just filled up with water, and take it, fill up the pitcher that had wine in it, and take it to the bridegroom. They didn't look at each other like, oh, this man of God is crazy. They didn't look and say, this man want us to serve water. He getting ready to get us flogged. He getting ready to get us killed. He getting ready to get us fired. They just, in obedience, did what God told them to do, or what Jesus had told them to do. And in them doing it, the water miraculously turned to wine. Now understand something. We're back to this obedience thing. When we get to obedience, we find out that obedience leads us to a full life. When you get to living in obedience, you can look at those folk who sit there and go, oh, well, you know, and I'm sorry, I know this can really make somebody mad. You know, so-and-so is sick, and we was praying God's will over them. You know, we pray God heal them if it be his will. Well, it is his will. He just said the power of life and death is in your tongue. Jesus said that the same miracles he did in biblical times we could do today if we had the faith believing him for it. Jesus said anything we ask in his name of the Father should be granted unto us, yet we want to sit there and put our lack of faith on God's will. And we wonder why we are still sitting in a place where we are fighting to push past emptiness. Then the other thing that I noticed is that he told them to fill it up, fill the water pots up with water. Now, we're going to go backtrack a little bit, and I told y'all that I was going to backtrack, and before I backtrack, I'm going to let y'all know that y'all are listening to a special edition of Study for Life. I'm Pastor Colleen Daly, your host for the remainder of this time, and we are talking about pushing past emptiness. We are broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. If you would like to speak with me live on the air, you can call in at 319-527-6091 or at 323-870-4771. I believe I said those numbers right. If I didn't, Brother Rob will be on in a minute to correct me on those numbers. Amen. So now we were talking about pushing past empty. And first I was talking about people who are totally empty. Now I want to talk to those people who are sitting here the entire time that I was speaking, and they was like, oh, she's not talking to me. Mm-mm. I am not empty, honey, because I'm in church every Sunday, and then I'm at Bible study on Wednesday. I'm at prayer meeting on Tuesday. I sang on the senior choir and the mass choir, and I'm on the usher board, and I serve on the missionary board, and I'm on the deaconess on the deacon board, and I'm doing this in the church and that in the church and the other in the church and the other, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you listen, all this great stuff that you feel like you're doing for the Lord. And as you're listing all of this great stuff that you're doing for the Lord, what you have not realized is that you have filled your space with clutter. You know, thank you, God. My grandsons love Legos. And we have this little plastic big jar that we put the Legos in. And what's funny is when they fill the Legos up, they just drop them in the jar. And because they are square and some of them are rectangular and circular and they're bulky, when they put them in, if you look it through this clear plastic jar, you can see all the different spaces inside this jar that is empty. Now, even though there's no more space for us to put another Lego in there, you can still see all of the spaces in this jar that is empty. Now, why is there empty spaces in this jar if we fill them up with Legos? The first reason is because Legos don't belong in that particular type of jar. Somebody gonna catch that in a second. Legos belong in a box, a crate, or whatever. But we were using this big jar that we had, and that's what we were using. But the truth is, although that's what we were using to put the Legos in, the truth of the matter is Legos do not really belong in that type of jar. What am I trying to say? Some of us are using, thank you, God, our religious activities, our religious responsibilities, our ministry responsibilities have become the Legos that we are using to fill up our jar, and we feel like we're full. But if the truth of it be told, every time God holds the big plastic jar of yourself up to the light and looks in, he sees big gaping holes of emptiness where there should be something filled in. Because remember, God told us in the 23rd Psalm that he'll make our cup runneth over. So if my cup is running over, that means not only is it filled, but it's filled to the point that it's now pouring out. And as it's pouring out, he's still pouring into me, and my cup is running over. But the problem is we try to fill our cups up with stuff that don't belong in the cup. I hope somebody's getting an understanding of what it is that I'm trying to express this evening. Some of us are filling our cups up with some things that don't belong in the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going back to the car again. You know, if you have a car, they have three different types of gas. Regular or unleaded, regular, however you say it. Then it's got the premium, and then they got plus. Now, for anybody that's ever driven a car, if the manufacturer says you have to have plus gas and you put regular gas in that engine, it might run for a little while, but it's going to soon give you engine troubles because you put the wrong type of fluid in the engine to make it go. So now I'm talking to you about being on empty. The question is, what is it then that we should be filled with? What should we be filled with? Well, the answer of that, truthfully, can be found right here in the scripture. Jesus first told them to go fill up the stone jugs with water. Oh, real quick, I'm sorry, because I said it three times. Anybody that's wondering, and we'll do a full study on it later, the stone water pots represents man. Remember, Jesus said that the law was first written on stone, but Jesus was coming, that he could write, the new law was going to be written on flesh, on our hearts. So the stone pots represent man. There were six of them. Remember, on the sixth day, God bent down and created man from the dust of the earth. They represent man. Man in his emptiness. Because even after God created man out of the dust of the earth, he bent down and blew in his nostrils. He filled us up with life. So the first thing that Jesus told him to fill it up with was water. And just for the theological discussion of it, the water represents the law, the old law of God. And if you look at it, the ritual pot they were used for the ceremonial cleansing that was required based on the laws of Moses, as well as through the directions of the Pharisees and some of the elders. So that's what it represents. Yet the part that is amazing to me is that with all of the water that was going around, this water turned to wine. Now, what I need you to understand is that the substance inside the stone pot changed, not the stone pot. Somebody going to catch that in a second. The substance in the stone pot changed. The stone water pot stayed the stone water pot. It was made out of stone. It continued to be made out of stone. It was made to contain water. Well, that's what happened. The servants went and they filled them to the brim with water. Yet when they dipped into this stone pot that was made to carry water, that was filled to the brim with water, what came out was wine. Now, why is that important? It's two reasons. Because one, wine represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Wine represents something that also in that blood of Jesus Christ that enables us to partake in the suffering of Jesus Christ when we take part in the Last Supper, the drinking of the wine and the eating of the bread. But it also represents the new man that we become in Christ Jesus. That's why the scripture says that old things pass away. Behold, I become as new. That old man inside me begins to change. He begins to change me by the renewing of my mind. He begins to make my life different, my walk different, my talk different. I begin to become wine, not because Jesus loved his mother, not because Jesus loved the servants, not even because Jesus loved the bridegroom, but what he loved was the obedience that was given. When God told Abraham to go up to the mountain to kill his son Isaac, what did Abraham do? He went up to the mountain and was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. But the fact that he was going up there ready to sacrifice Isaac isn't the part that was miraculous to me. The fact that was miraculous to me when he was on his way to sacrifice Isaac was that he turned around to the servants. Knowing that he was on his way up this mountain to kill his son, he turned to the servants and said, "Me and the boy will be back. Y'all wait right here." Why did he say, "Me and the boy will be back. Y'all can wait right here"? Because at the end of the day, God, if you're telling me to take this child's life, that's what I have to do. I don't want nobody out there talking about, "Oh, Pastor Toy is preaching, and that's why I did whatever I did to my child." The devil is a liar. That's not what I'm saying. But he's saying, this child, Isaac, is the child of promise. You told me you was going to make my descendants as numerous as the stars, as numerous as the sands on the beach. It can't be possible if you're going to take the promise. So if this is the child of promise, no matter what you're telling me to do, I'm looking at everybody waiting for me saying that me and the promise will be back. Because God is not man that he should lie. You do not have to be on empty. You just have to go to Jesus. Here go the deal. It's like with your car. You don't have to drive around on fumes. You can go to the gas station and get gas. And I understand everybody got their preferred gas station. Some people like Speedway. Some people like Sunoco. Some people like A+. Some people won't get no gas unless it's coming from Wawa. Everybody got their preferred place that they like to go to get gas, sort of like in the spiritual realm. Some people like Baptist. Some people like holiness. Some people like Church of God in Christ. Some people like Episcopalian. You know, we all got our own particular gas stations that we like to go get filled up at. The thing is, we just got to stop and get filled up. Problem is, some of us ain't stopping and getting filled up. And here's the beauty of it. God is so awesome. He loves you so much, you ain't got to wait until the sanctuary door is open. You don't have to wait until the gas station is open, because he gave you your own little, you know how you had them emergency little gas can things that hold about 2 or 3 gallons worth of gas in case you break down on the side of the road? We got one that can fill us up completely. It's called the BIBLE. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, or say you are, you should have one at your disposal. And in today's time, there are no excuse. You can download a free app on your phone. You ain't even got to be able to read. The free apps will read the Bible to you so that you can be filled up and push past empty. Hallelujah, God. Somebody out there listening right now, they didn't even realize they was on empty. They knew something was wrong. They knew they didn't feel right. They knew spiritually they were tired. They knew spiritually they were exhausted, but they didn't realize it was because they were on empty, because no one had ever told them about emptiness before. No one had ever told them that they could have a chance to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and get filled up. Nobody had ever told them that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, and because he came to give us life and life more abundantly, that we could walk in the fullness of God, in the fullness of grace, in the fullness of the love that God has for us. Ain't nobody ever told them that. But I'm here to tell you today that you do not have to live on empty. You do not have to survive on empty. You can get filled up right now, right this second. Right this second, as we're speaking on the air, you can take the time to get filled up by just giving your life to Christ. It's not something that's hard to do. It's something that's actually really simple. You just first believe that God is who he says he is, and that Jesus is who his word, who he said he is, and who God's word says he is, and that he did what he said he came to do. And if you can believe that, if you really and truly believe that in your heart, the next thing that the word of God tells you is that if you confess it out of your mouth. So if you believe it in your heart and confess it out of your mouth, the same shall be saved. And you can believe it and confess it by simply saying this prayer after me. You just say, Father God, I come to you today, a sinner who needs to be saved. I come asking you to come into my life. I come asking you to forgive me of my sin. I come receiving and accepting the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, into my life, to make me whole and to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, last thing you do is you just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Bible study, prayer service, all of that. You don't have to wait until Sabbath school. We're not talking about church membership. We're talking about a personal relationship. You just tell somebody. You just say, hey, I gave my life to Christ today. And according to God's word, once you make that confession out of your mouth, you are saved. Now, of course, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing, Teaching, Preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Brother Robert is going to come on, and he's going to give you some information about how you can follow us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, as well as some information about our upcoming revival. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Awesome word tonight. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. And if you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns, You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. Also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page, and that's at Purpose Kingdom. We can see our upcoming advertisements and our upcoming shows. And we should have our lineup on there where you can see our lineup for our upcoming revival. And speaking of our upcoming revival, I got the lineup for our revival. On December 25th at the 9 p.m. hour, we're going to have Minister Bernard Merrill. On December 26th, we're going to have Pastor Lee Maddox. On December 27th, we're going to have Reverend Aaron Williams. And on December 28th, we're going to have Pastor Tyleen Daly. On the 29th, we're going to have Bishop Donald Jackson. On the 30th, we're going to have Pastor Jermon Johnson. And on the 31st, kicking off at the 11 p.m. hour, bringing us into the new year, we're going to have Elder Norman and Evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison to bring us into the new year. And all shows are going to be starting at 9 p.m. hour, except for the show that we're going to have on December 31st, and that's going to be starting at the 11 p.m. hour. God's willing, God's blessing. We hope you join that revival, and we hope you spiritually rejoice with us as we bring in the new year. Also, God's willing, God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Purpose Kingdom News, for Purpose Kingdom Newsroom. And it's going to be hosted by our trio of anchors, starting with Adrian Sunstein and Allen, myself, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and Pastor Tyleen Daly, and Antonia Batts. Okay, and like I said, feel free to join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. I did say a trio, but it's our foursome there. Yeah, and, once again, it's going to be our lineup for Purpose Kingdom Newsroom. And it's going to be starting at the 9 p.m. hour, and hopefully with God's will, God's blessing, you'll be able to join us. Also, we invite you to join us for our morning word of inspiration at anchor.com. And so pretty much you can go to any of our media pages. You can follow the link, or you can just go ahead and go to anchor.com or Anchor FM where you can hear our morning word of inspiration. With that being said, we hope you enjoy the rest of tonight's program and pass the toy. The program is going to be back in your hands.
Praise the Lord. We just bless God, and we thank God for each and everyone who joined in with us this evening. And you know, my goal for you going into 2020 is that no one walks into it feeling empty. And that if you are walking into it feeling empty, that you realize that if you just call on the name of Jesus, that you can get filled. That if you just be obedient to the move of God, to the will of God over your life, you can be filled. You can be set free. You can be delivered. You can be healed. God is just so awesome like that. And he loves each and every one of us just like that. So we thank you for joining in. We pray that you will continue to push past empty, that you will continue to reach for God, search for God, why he may be found. Because the word of God says that if you seek him, you shall find him. So search for him while he may be found. Hallelujah. Not because he's lost, but truthfully because we're lost, and we're lost in the concept of our minds and of this society. But I dare you to just taste and see that the Lord is good and that he's worthy of your honor, your adoration, and your praise. I thank each and everyone for joining in with us this evening. I thank Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson for the announcements this evening. We pray that you be blessed and that you will join in with us tomorrow evening. Until then, we will see you on the other side. Know that we love you, but more importantly, God loves you. Good night, and God bless.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil want to see me down, I will not lose.
Yeah.